This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the Colossians: "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." One very important aspect of what you and I do is our work. And doing our work in the name of the Lord Jesus will affect our work. Most of us spend about 2,000 hours a year, about 100,000 hours in our lifetimes, working. But many Christians spend their work days not truly understanding how faith affects their work. They go to work unchallenged. They're bored. They see no lasting value in their work. Unless, of course, it's to witness to their coworkers, which they usually feel guilty about because they don't think they witness enough. As a result, they feel that the only real meaning in life can be found in leisure or in religious activities. Deep down, they're skeptical about Christianity's relevance in the world of work. Often they struggle with the cost of integrity. Why should I keep my ethical edge? What does it really matter? And they end up compromising the cause of Christ by living an inconsistent lifestyle. They struggle to put work in its proper perspective. There's no real sense of dignity in their day-to-day activities. They're just not convinced that their work matters to God. Can you relate to any of these feelings? Whether you work in a shop or take care of children or keep the home or run a lathe or teach school, you want to know that somehow your work really does matter to God. Well, I believe your daily work in and of itself has real purpose and meaning. And so I want to take the opportunity over these next several sessions to talk about how to live a truly distinctive Christian lifestyle on the job, what it means to do what you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever noticed that every job has its clubhouse? Think about it. Athletes meet in locker rooms. Teachers gather in lounges. Surgeons have their scrub rooms. Shop workers meet in the lunch area. Secretaries in the cubicle where the coffee pot is located. We all have our clubhouses. And in those clubhouses, the conversation sometimes centers on the work and sometimes on the lives of the workers. But the clubhouse is a place that's comfortable for those who belong there. Doug Sherman is a former fighter pilot. Doug says the clubhouse for fighter pilots is the flight room. That's where pilots meet before and after their flight missions. Pilots gather there in the flight room and tell stories to one another about dangerous missions they've flown. They talk about flying at 600 miles per hour, 3 feet apart, communicating by hand signals and instinct, and these stories in the flight room bring the fighter pilots closer together. Doug said, but once in a while, a chaplain would enter our flight room. And when the chaplain entered, the atmosphere in the room would suddenly change. The talking would stop. Everyone would look up. The chaplain would face a group of fighter pilots whose stares seemed to ask, "What are you doing here? What's the matter? Who got killed? Why else would a chaplain be here?" Doug said, chaplains seemed very out of place in our flight room. Somehow we felt they just didn't understand our world. Their interests seemed so distant from ours. Of course, we pilots felt just as out of place when we entered their world, their sanctuaries with the stained glass windows, their ancient hymns, their creeds, their sermons on God and goodness and love. Their work seemed on a higher plane, so remote from our dogfights and flight plans. And they seem to have different heroes. Among pilots, everybody wants to be the top gun. And if you can't be the top gun, then you envy the person who is the top gun. But very few of the chaplains ever mention the top gun. Instead, they praise the people who left the Air Force to become ministers and missionaries. This scene that Doug describes is all too real, isn't it? I've been a minister and a missionary all my adult life, and I admit it. We people of the cloth who supposedly speak for God often think so little of the workaday world. And the idea comes through our language that God must not think much of the workaday world either. So what happens is that many people just dismiss the religious realm as irrelevant. Martin Marty once wrote, "As Christians, we have over many years allowed a chasm to grow between our faith and our day-to-day work, a chasm God never intended." The Apostle Paul is stating to the church at Colossae a radically different message. Paul wrote that there is purpose in what we do every day in our work. There's dignity connected to our labor. The ethical standards that we apply in the workplace are extremely important, and the practical results of our work are critical. So as you do your work, remember that you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to God the Father through Him.
This has been a presentation of Member Care Media. We invite you to explore our website, where we offer audio features and resources for you and your entire family. We also have links to other websites that can provide further answers and resources to meet your needs. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.